Hi everybody and welcome. This is our sixth episode and what a wonderful day we're having. It's cold, it's wet, it's wintry and it's the middle of May. What can I say? Thank you, Michelle, for the question around this week's subject. Now, this week's subject is something that we've all met over the years in one form or another. Before I go into it, I'm going to play you a song. And I think you'll guess what the theme is for this week. Was a song by Toby Keith and it's called I Want to Talk About Me. So have you guessed yet what the subject is all about? Yes, it is a self-centered or self-absorbed person. And we've all met them. And sometimes we have even been them. So how do you describe a person who is self-centered? The definition that I could come up with is of a person who is excessively concerned with him or herself and their own needs. Now you and I more than likely know somebody who always talks about themselves, always looks for something, is always in need for something, is always needing our attention. It's all about me, 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 me. And every issue will revert back to them. As the word would suggest, they're only concerned with themselves. People who are self-centered will ignore the needs of other people and only do and say what is best for them. Now, other names we can call them are egotistical, egocentric. I think it was around the 17th century that self-centered actually meant fixed or stationary. Now, that says a lot about where the person is in themselves. They're fixed on themselves and they're stationary on themselves. So tell me, how would you know a self-centered person? Think about it for a couple of minutes. Switch off this and just think about it. Did you come up with anything? Well, what are the early signs of a self-centered person? I'm going to give you just maybe a few that I'm aware of. Number one, people who are self-centered are very good manipulators. When we talk about a selfish person or a self-centered person, all situations and all relationships will be about them. A manipulating person is about somebody who seeks to control other people and circumstances so that they can achieve what they want. They may end up using emotional blackmail. I believe that people who are self-centered believe their way of handling situations is the only way. And the reason for that is because it means their needs are being met. And that's really all that matters as far as they're concerned. Now, we all know how to be manipulative. We can be. But it can also be a very frightening thing for people. Because it's not something that we're born with. It's developed over time and has to be practiced. Now, if there are manipulative people in your life, then you'll have to make a choice. Either stand up for yourself or give in. The choice is yours. Two, self-centered people can be uncaring towards other people. Now, we know that self-centered people have a tendency to neglect other people's needs. So, for example, if you open up and show your emotion or try to tell them your emotion, they may actually use that to manipulate you or to get what they want or to make you feel guilty. People who are self-centered will use phrases like, "If you really loved me, you'd never ask me that question." Or, "I wouldn't take that job. I wouldn't want to be away from my kids so much." If you are in that kind of situation, you need to start putting yourself first, especially when you're with them. Three, people who are self-centered can plot and scheme very easily. Because they are manipulative people, they'll always be looking to get something out of you for their own benefit. Now, this can happen very on in a friendship or in a partnership because they're afraid of what might happen in the future. And it is particularly the case of self-centered people who are narcissists. Four, people who are self-centered can be conceited. The way a self-centered person thinks is that they want to be first. However, they're not satisfied with being number one. They also need to put you down. Have you ever met somebody who almost insists that everything they say is of importance and they disregard everything that you say? Five, self-centered people will always find sharing and giving very difficult. Sometimes people like this can show as if they care or that they have a caring side. Let me let you in on a little secret. It's not real. Because sharing and caring and giving are not an easy thing for them. Their actions will show through this in any situation eventually. For one thing, they want something in exchange. Maybe if they help somebody, they'll go and talk about it so that they get praised for it. Six, self-centered people will always put their own dreams and their goals ahead of somebody else. That speaks for itself. It's because the way they think, they expect other people to do things for them. In other words, it's all about control. Self-centered people find it very difficult to accept constructive criticism. It's because they have huge egos. They can't just process constructive criticism for their own good. It's a bit like a narcissist. When they are criticized, they show themselves badly incapable of retaining any emotional receptiveness. Because a lot of the time it's very difficult for them to show that they're actually wrong. In fact, it's hard for them to admit to themselves that they might be wrong. Seven, people who are self-centered will criticize others behind their back. The reason they do this is because deep within themselves, they fear that they're not right. So they project their judgment onto others. Now, they do this because they believe that they are better or superior to other people. 8. Self-centered people are terrified of public failure. Now, as far as they're concerned, being humiliated in public is considered to be the worst type of failure. They cannot themselves think of their own failure. So they'll either run from the situation or blame others. And 90% of the time, they will blame others. Now, these are just a few of the signs. Most people will consider self-centeredness to be a negative character or a negative part of someone. And if you know somebody who's self-centered or are self-centered, the first thing that's going to be done is that they'll beat themselves up about it because they feel shame. And this will give them another reason for negative claims. So if you do know somebody who is self-centered, or you are self-centered yourself, keep this in mind. It can be changed, but it takes work. Look at the possible reasons why somebody is being self-centered, including yourself. Maybe try to see the self-centeredness as a symptom of something else. Maybe it's an underlying symptom of the feeling of being unsafe or lacking in something. Now, anxiety will always drive self-centeredness. So for some people, it's a very painful sense of a lack of integrity or genuineness. Sometimes people have a feeling that they're frauds. I have often heard people who think themselves from the self-centeredness refer to themselves as losers or rejects or trash. They often feel threatened or vulnerable, anxious, insecure when they're with other people. Those who have also the narcissistic tendency, they suffer hugely from their addiction to their own specialness. Of course, they have an underlying insecurity related to an inability to love or to be loved. The one thing that I would say about being self-centered is that it is driven by pain. The pain is that we are not worthy and are not safely connected to other people. I have a suspicion that self-centeredness begins from a number of places, like from our family history and our ancestry, handed down through the time. Even from our childhood life experiences. For example, like the training we got from our parents or the significant adults in our life when we were children. Because during our early years, our significant adult or parents would teach us how to love ourselves, coming from how they feel about us. As children, we were like the proverbial sponge, needing understanding of who we are. As children, we absorb a sense of our worth from the people around us. Now, hopefully, most of us who have been socialized have been tuned into others so that we might form mutual friendships and relationships along the way, and where we learn over time how to focus on others.
So what is the cost for being self-centered? Well, we know it can be the root of many psychiatric illnesses, including addiction, personality disorders, anxiety, and depression. But self-centeredness will also damage relationships. And the reason for this is that these self-centered beliefs will take away from you the capacity to be attentive to others. It's a vicious circle. It's like a catch-22. As the anxiety drives the negative opinions and ideas and thoughts, which then causes more anxiety. And then we start all over again. I've even heard some people say that self-centeredness may also contribute to so many health problems, and that it can even shorten a person's life. Self-centeredness drives addiction because it's a disconnection, and the disconnection leads to addiction, or at least it fuels addiction, and this creates more disconnection. So therefore, more self-centeredness, etc., etc., etc. And then we're back to square one again, and now you're on a downward spiral to that magic roundabout of misery. So how can we counteract self-centeredness? I'm sure that there are many, many self-help books that can actually help you determine what method suits you. But remember, you can read as many self-help books as you like, but unless you put something into practice, it ain't going to work. Some people try mindfulness. Now, I'm a great advocate for mindfulness. And it can help people to see clearer because they're living in the present moment and not in the past and not in the future. So they're seeing things as reality. It also helps you to recognize the negative thought pattern and the behavior coming from that. Here are a couple of ways to try and deal with or counteract self-centeredness. And that goes for whether it's within you or whether you notice it in somebody else. 1. Access the damage, both of what's possible and in the present. So looking at another person, how important is this person in your life? How important is it that you feed into their self-centeredness? And if you stop catering to somebody else's demands, would you end up being left out of social gatherings? And if you are, how much of that would you really mind? How much would it affect you? What's the feeling when you're being left out? 2. Consider your options. Do you really want to break away completely from this person? Or do you want to continue to have a relationship? Is that even possible? Are you worried about being rude or about their anger towards you, especially if you stop giving in to their demands? What will really happen if you stand up to the person who is being self-centered towards you and stepping on your toes? And in fact, they might get angry with you. That's nearly guaranteed. And they may see you as rude. However, if you're looking after yourself and you know this, you don't have to take on the energy of their behavior. Your friend or colleague has the right to be angry with you for not following them anymore. But there's a big but here. You have the right to deny that energy entry. I think it was J.K. Rowling's one of the quotes in the Harry Potter books, and it says, "Professor, why couldn't we just appear directly into your old colleague's house?" And he replied, "Because it would be quite as rude as kicking down the front door," said Dumbledore. "Courtesy dictates that we offer fellow wizards the opportunity of denying us entry." I think that's very, very apt. 3. Move on. People will always find other audiences, especially those who are self-centered. If you are no longer giving in to the demands of their self-centeredness, they will move on from you. But you must be ready to do the same. We can find freedom to meet other people, especially those who have been trying to find time for a coffee or a glass of wine. And sometimes we can find that colleagues or friends are far more supportive than our self-centered friends, because they don't require constant praise or adulation. If your self-centered friend, or even yourself as a self-centered person, isn't available for a relationship that would include the whole person, body, mind and spirit, then that friendship or that co-worker or that relationship is missing a vital ingredient in that relationship. 4. Try to learn from your experience. We all know that moving on can be painful. However, it gives us the opportunity to look for a different way of being in the world. If there is still something important to you in that relationship, then try to find a different way to manage it. Maybe make some new friends or develop some other supports from other colleagues and friends, but staying connected with that self-centered person. So what is the most important thing in your life? It's that you find a way, or several ways if possible, to enhance your own self-esteem outside of this self-centered connectedness. Here's a list of things to remember about self-centered people. 1. Accept that they have little or no regard for other people. 2. Give yourself the attention that you know you deserve. 3. Do not fall or drop to their level. 4. Do not give them the attention that they seek. 5. Don't just talk about what they're interested in. Talk about what interests you. 6. Stop doing everything that they demand of you. Spend as less time with them as you can. 7. Try hanging out with more positive people. And finally, 8. If necessary, end the relationship. Stay well, stay safe. Namaste.